Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Last week, we started a brand new sermon series called A Call to Rest. And I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching this sermon to myself, all right? Paul is like, why are you preaching this? You don't even do this. I'm like, I'm really trying, all right? I'm trying. Like, how many of you are like just doers? Like, you just go, and like when Pastor Cherie said, oh, yeah, no, like, I work harder than everybody else. Like, we wear that as a badge of honor. All right. I'd never say that, but like, I do work hard. And so, with that really busy schedule and looking at this, I'm looking at how to apply it into my life. So, I'm not an expert on this matter. We're going to learn together. Does that sound good? Is that good? Okay. We're going to learn this together because I think it's so important. Last week, Pastor Cherie kicked us off on a new series, A Call to Rest. During that, she dug into the topic of Sabbath and the importance of Sabbath in our spiritual walk with God. How many of you know when you're tired, you don't make good decisions? When you're tired, your emotions go upside down, right? When you're exhausted physically and mentally and spiritually, it's when the enemy's able to attack you the most because our guard is down. And so this idea of resting on a regular basis is so vital to our spiritual walk. It's a challenging message, especially, Pastor Cherie, she's texting me right now. She's telling me, she's giving me the business right now, all right? This is especially important for those who tend to not slow down and always like to stay busy. When you don't get rest, you're not working at your optimum. And that's this whole idea. And that's, I think, one of the truths Pastor Cherie brought home last week is the fact that keeping the Sabbath, it's one of the Ten Commandments that we break on a regular basis. You're like, man, the Ten Commandments, man, I try to follow this in my life. But we forget, and almost like she said, a badge of honor. The other commandments we take very seriously. We're not out murdering each other. We're not, most of the time, we don't try to lie. I mean, like, all of the Ten Commandments we take very seriously except for this one. We ignore the commandment to keep the Sabbath holy. What does the word holy mean? It means to set apart. You have to understand, the Bible is saying, remember the Sabbath to keep it set apart for God. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is, and we're going to read the scripture right here. This is the Sabbath. The Bible talks about this in Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Take your Bibles out. Let's read it, underline it, mark it, highlight it, because I think it's so important. Here it is. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, set apart for God. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes your son, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And listen, this is not about a bunch of rules and regulations. I don't care what day you take as your Sabbath, okay? A lot of people take Sunday as their Sabbath, where they come to church, they honor God by being here, and then rest, all right? So I don't care whatever day it works for you, all right? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because you can get caught up in all the rules, and that's religion, okay? This is a gift that God gave us. So when we look at this, it's not about getting caught up in the rules and wondering if we're doing right. It's about taking a rest. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the explanation on Sabbath is the greatest explanation of any of the commandments. Okay? Look, most of them are just one sentence. There are four verses tied to the Sabbath when you look at Exodus. God had to explain himself because he knew we would not get it unless he literally explained it and said, this is what you have to do, all right? For all of you in the room who don't think they need a rest, including me, it's important. It's an important thing to understand that God has called us to rest. And when we rest, it's saying, God, I trust you enough to take care of everything I'm worried about. I trust you enough to bring in the money that I'm not going to work myself. God did not call you to be a slave. God called you to be free. And when you rest, it's showing that you trust him enough. That you trust him enough with everything that you have that you're not going to work yourself to the bone. God wanted you to stop and enjoy what he created. He modeled what it looks like. He created the heavens and the earth for 6 days. And then he said, okay, I'm going to take a rest. I'm going to take a look at everything I created. The worst thing we can do in life is to miss all that God created. I don't know about you, and you know I'm on the road a lot. I love to come home to hear. just to look at the mountains, to look at how beautiful we live in. You might have grown up here and you might think, oh, I can't wait to get out of here. I'm telling you, we've lived in multiple cities across the country and there's no place like home. But how many of us don't stop and take a look at that? How many of us, because we're so busy, we miss out on what God created? When God created the Sabbath, he created a gift for us. This is a gift. It's not a noose that goes around your neck. It's a gift. And I know many of you are Christmas present shakers. You like to find out what your gift is before you even open it. You're out there under the tree. I can't wait for Christmas. I'm ready to decorate my house now. Anyways. But we leave this gift unopened, like we don't even care. Let's unopen this gift in our life. Let's start saying, God, what does this gift look like for me? It's not a noose around your neck. In fact, listen, God's not saying, like, let me turn that around. Don't look at it and be mad at God that he said take a rest. Look at it as a gift. Look at it as a gift. Look at it as a gift that can be opened with no strings attached. God set the example. He even had to rest. That one day every 7 days should be a source of benefit and relief to everyone. How we wanted to offer that, how he wants to offer that same gift of rest to you and I, and that's why God created Sabbath. I'm almost certain that God made this commandment because he knew that humans have a really hard time not overworking. Because we like to take things into our own hands. We like to try to say, okay, I'm just gonna make it happen. Like statements like, well, I'm a self-made man. I work my tail off to get everything I have. Take a break and let's see what God can do. Let him do what only he can do. I promise you, an ounce of his favor will move you so much farther than years of work. 1 ounce. 1 ounce of his favor on your life. How do you get that favor? You line yourself up with him. You line yourself up with those ways. Thankfully, God was alerting us to the fact that time is our greatest treasure. You can always make more money, but you can never make more time. That's why he says, invest this time. It's probably the most precious thing that we have. God was alerting to us that we need to have a balanced life, so you have to take time to Sabbath. And God's not going to force you to do it. You have to make room in your life. Well, how am I going to do that, Pastor Jason? It means you're going to cut something out to make room, something that doesn't really matter. How we spend our time, listen closely to this, shows who or what we worship. Who gets the best of your time? Do you keep your calendar so busy that you don't have any margin? I'm confident that people stay so busy because they don't want to look at their life. They don't want to look at what's going on in their life. And when it's silent, it drives them nuts. Because then you have to sit there and you have to listen to what God's saying to you. Thank you. Got to keep moving. I was going to say something, but I can't. Okay. About Paula. I love you. Thank you. I'm having self-control. All right. I think that we are afraid of the silence. And when we just take time to just take some time and let the Lord speak to us. Do you keep your calendar so busy that you don't have any margin? I want to tell you something, parents. The world would tell you to stay so busy with your kids that you have no margin. Right? You can sign your kids up for every sport in the world and go all year long, and you have no margin. I would challenge you, parents, to say this year you're going to play one sport. Then we're going to have some margin. Oh, it got really quiet. Yeah, I'm meddling. Do you know, we lived in St. Louis, and there was a report that came out from the St. Louis Children's Hospital that kids are getting to be in their 20s, and their bodies are so broken down because they played so many sports year around. Our bodies were not made for that. Your life cycle was not made for that. Take some moments to draw a line and say, this is where it stops. I always say, you show me your calendar, and I can tell you who or what you're worshiping. Just remember, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Jason, just remember, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. What are you saying yes to, and what are you saying no to? Wow. I would challenge you, as you get ready to move into the fall, really stop and take a moment to look at your calendar and make sure your priorities are in line with Jesus and what he's speaking to you about. You have to have margins in your life. There's great favor when we line up our lives with God's ways. What God can do in your 6 days of work is way more than you could ever do when you partner with, by yourself and just try to do it on your own and work 7 days. What God can do in those 6 days, and I want to challenge you with one step further. Give God the best and the first of your time. It's not, oh, I think I can fit you in here for 5 minutes. How about we start at the beginning of the week and say, God, here's my time with your first fruits. And that's in our giving, that's in our time. I want to tell you there's a first fruits blessing. When you make God first, in fact, I seem to remember a verse that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? Everything else will be added to you. There's a first fruit blessing. Well, God, I think I can fit you in when I'm really tired and then I fall asleep. How about you put him first? Look at your calendar and say, okay, God, you're first. This week, you're first. Trust God enough to take care of you as your Sabbath and make it a priority in your life. You know, one thing that makes me so sad is that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Every time I want Chick-fil-A, it's closed on Sundays. Right? I think there was even a song made about it. Do you know that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays because they're a Christian company and they respect the Sabbath? They're not going to come out straight and say that because they're afraid of getting heat from it. But I want you to look at Chick-fil-A. They're closed on Sundays because the owners want to help their employees have a day of rest. Listen to this. You talk about God's favor. They make more money in 6 days than McDonald's, Subway, and Starbucks combined. They honor God and God blesses them. Talk about favor. In Genesis, we see where God actually blessed the seventh day and made it holy, and he'll bless you too. Today's portion of scripture is what Jesus had to say about the Sabbath, because we read about the Sabbath in the Old Testament, and I've heard people say, well, you know, that was Old Testament. Jesus came to wipe away, it's a new covenant, blah, blah, blah. No, Jesus came to build upon the Old Testament. He came to say, listen, this is not now about rules and regulations and a sacrifice, but this is something that I'd encourage you as a gift to start to do in your life. Jesus affirmed the Sabbath. Listen to what Matthew 12, 1 through 8 says, and this is where we're at in our scriptures with Matthew. Okay? At about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. But some Pharisees saw them do it, and they protested. Now, remember, Pharisees are the religious people of the day. And you remember, religious people try to make man-made rules to get their way to God, where Jesus is all about relationship. Right? Thank God. People will ask me, well, you're religious? Nope, I hate religion. I love Jesus and I love relationship, but religion, all these rules and regulations and everything that we try to put around God that he never did, never said, is tiring. So these religious folks said, look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. Jesus said to them, haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and he ate his companion, and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. That's like breaking into communion. But you wouldn't do that here because we have those nasty little, like, I mean, not nasty, sorry. I just got the eye. Those actually I like the ones that we have now that we're not opening that are like styrofoam. Okay, I'm moving on. Man, help me, Lord. All right. Back to the Bible. Broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of the scripture. I want to show you mercy, not sacrifice. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even over the Sabbath. Guys, God wants to show us mercy, not sacrifice. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why this is such a gift. That's why if we'll take a moment and we'll rest every week, you are going to see God do incredible things in your life. Sabbath is not about some strict set of rules that you need to be stressed about following. It's a gift. And that's work. When you're stressed out about Sabbath, that's not resting. Following religious man-made rules is exhausting. It's more work. Exactly what Jesus was telling us to stop doing. Following a list of rules and regulations is not what Jesus had in mind, because he came to show us mercy, not sacrifice. So those weeks when you're so busy and you don't get a Sabbath, there's no guilt and shame in that. It's okay, God, we're going to pick it up for the next week. We're going to pick this up because it's out of relationship. It's a gift. It's out of love. He gave us Sabbath as a gift. If you'll take advantage of this great gift, it's going to change your life. So what should Sabbath look like? The word Sabbath means rest and worship. How do we take hold of this gift? What was Jesus saying? Pastor Sheree gave us three things last week that we should do in Sabbath. We should stop, rest, and delight. So stop for 24 hours. Like, take a rest. And then delight. It's significant that Jesus would also deal with Sabbath from the New Testament perspective. But stop, rest, and delight. So stop what you're doing. Put your phones even away. And that's a hard one for me, so I'm still praying through that, okay? Take some rest. Some of us, we feel guilty when we rest, because there's so much to do. I promise you that list will still be there tomorrow. There'll still be a lot to do. Don't worry. You'll still have an opportunity to get it done. Only now you're going to do it with God's favor. That's a different matter. So three things. First of all, Jesus affirmed the Sabbath. Point number one. He said, yes, practice this in your life. We see the Sabbath mentioned in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. He affirmed the concept of Sabbath, and he challenged the religious folks of the day to really understand it. Matthew 12:7. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this. And see, back then, if you broke Sabbath, you could even be put to death. Right? So that's what Jesus was saying. It's not about that. What it's about is taking hold of the gift. I want to show you mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even over the Sabbath. So what is your Sabbath going to look like? Why don't you ask Jesus, because he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Why don't we stop and say, okay, God, what do you want out of my life with this? Like, ask him. Well, I can't hear him. You can't hear him because you're too busy and you've got too much stuff coming into your mind. Get away and ask the Lord, what does Sabbath look like in my life? Because you are the Lord of the Sabbath. It's not about rules and regulations, but Lord, how do you want me to connect with you? Does that make sense? Let's unpack this scripture. It's important that you know the meaning of scripture, and that Jesus came to give us mercy and the sacrifices aren't required. And when we're talking about sacrifices, he's going back to the Old Testament, and those sacrifices were for the atonement of sin. Like putting blood and killing goats and all that stuff we read about in Leviticus. That's all the sacrifices. And Jesus was saying, I am the sacrifice. I gave my life for you. I'm going to give my life for you. And all I'm asking is that we have a relationship. We have a friendship. And when you have that kind of relationship, it affirms the fact that Jesus wants you to rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And one of the great benefits of Sabbath is that connection with him, because you stop and you slow down. Like, take some time with him. You can talk to him about what it needs to look like in your life. And listen, I want to be real with you. It might start out with just a couple hours where you say, okay, God, I'm going to give you a couple hours. Let's see what happens. And then extend it. And then extend it, right, to where you're at 24 hours. Right? Start, if you need to start with a baby step, start with a baby step. Let the Lord speak to you and say, okay, God, I'm going to give you 2 hours, or I'm going to give you three. Like, God, whatever you're asking me to do, what I want to challenge you to do is go home and say, God, I want to take hold of this gift for my life. What does it look like? What does it look like? Point number two, a day of rest was given for our physical and spiritual well-being. You will not be a whole person unless you rest. Unless you take time out for him. Look at all of the effects. And Pastor Sheree talked about the effects of not resting last week. Worry, anxiety, making bad decisions. And we're all exhausted. What was it? 70% of people walked in here last week tired? And it might be 80% now after we moved. I'm adding that to my, I'm there. But God gave us Sabbath for our physical and spiritual well-being. We can rest in the fact that if you rest and trust God to take care of things, he's going to do it. Jesus made that clear to the religious leaders when he spoke in Matthew 8, 3 through 5. Read it again. Jesus said to them, haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he was hungry and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priests on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? What Jesus was saying is, I'm concerned about your needs. I'm concerned about your physical well-being. I'm concerned that you're not hungry or spiritually hungry either. There's a lot of people spiritually hungry because they're not stopping and taking time. God gave us the Sabbath to meet our needs and prove that he can be trusted while we rest. Jesus was meeting the physical needs of the disciple. And listen, when you rest, he's going to meet your needs. When you rest and you take time out, he's going to take care of you. It is so quiet in this room. Pastor Jason's meddling with my schedule. Yes, I am. Hand me your calendar and let's work together to get this figured out. God did not give us Sabbath to take anything away from us. He gave us Sabbath to give to us. It's the opposite. He gave us the Sabbath to take care of our needs and enrich our lives. The ultimate question is, do you trust God enough to take care of you while you're resting? A lot of people can't rest because they're afraid their needs are not going to be met. Do you believe what God says? He loves you so much that he takes care like the grass that's here today and gone tomorrow. The sparrows, which I hate those birds, but they are cute. They just get in like roofs and stuff. It's nuts. Working is an area that you can control, but you actually miss out on being present in life. It's something that you can grab control of. Our work is driven by our worry about tomorrow. The Bible tells us, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own worries. And the problem is, if you're always worried about tomorrow, you're going to miss out on today. There's a lot of people missing out on the present because they're worried about tomorrow. I'm not going to have enough. Some of you live in a lack mindset. I'm never going to have enough. Maybe that's how you grew up. But I want to change that way of thinking to say, God, you are going to take care of all my needs. I'm never going to lack when I follow you and hold on to that mindset. God wants to break a poverty spirit off some of you because you feel like you're never going to have enough. You're never going to have enough. And I'm telling you right now, if you will partner with God and take a rest, you're going to have more than you could ever expect. You're going to have loaves and fishes going back to when Jesus had not much, but all of a sudden he took 5 loaves and 5 fishes and had so much food to give a crowd that they had extras left over. That's what I'm speaking over your life. Don't let the enemy steal your present. Point number 3, we see God's commitment to take care of us here. You're going to see God show up. In this portion of scripture, you see Jesus showing up for those disciples. As we rest in him and we dedicate a day of our week to God, you're going to see that God takes care of all of your needs. You can rest assured that he has everything in his hands, that you are going to see him show up in incredible ways. It's not just theory, you're actually going to see it. You're actually going to see it. Some of you haven't seen it because you're not practicing it. God will never put anyone to shame who trusts in him. You're not going to fully, though, see God's purpose fulfilled in your life until you fully trust in him. When you trust in him and you give him your time and your schedule, you're going to see him show up. Here's the thing, you may not see it right away. But I promise you as you go, because it's not just, okay, God, I'm going to do this one time and see what you're going to do. It's a discipline. Which means it's a way of life change. So as you discipline your life to take a rest, God's going to be able to start to change and you're going to see God show up. In every area of your life, I promise you, it will be better when you put the gift of Sabbath into action in your life. It's not rules. It's not regulations. It's about relationship. Sabbath is where God's purposes will also become known in your life because it's connection. And for me, here's what I'm doing. Like, I'm on the road a lot on Saturdays, and what I've done is put my work aside and just say, you know what? Even on an airplane, I'm going to Sabbath. Like, I'm putting my phone away. I'm putting it aside. So that may not look like your Sabbath, but that's where I'm starting. Right? Whatever God is calling you to do, I want to challenge you, go do it. It's a gift. You'd never leave a gift under a Christmas tree that you knew was so valuable. That's like leaving a ring from Tiffany's under the Christmas tree. Right? None of you would. You'd be trying to sell it on eBay or something, all right? No, I'm just kidding. You'd pull it out and you'd take hold of it and you would use it. So stop leaving this gift under the Christmas tree. It's time to pull it out and start using it. And I hope you were challenged today. Yes, I was meddling with your schedule. But I can do that because I love you. And you will see God do incredible things. I promise you. You see God's commitment and his purpose to take care of you. And you'll only be able to walk in that when you start taking a few moments for Sabbath. Taking time for Sabbath. Taking time to connect with him. And I think it's so important. I'm getting ready to wrap up. This is all based on love. Right? It's all based on relationship. It's not this, oh man, oh, I didn't Sabbath. Now, look, my life is going to fall apart. No, it's not that. That's religious. Right? It's, okay, God, we're going to partner together. I'm going to get into this rhythm, and it might take me a little bit of time to do it, but it's based on relationship and love because he loves you so much that he wants you to know it, and he wants you to know him. And this depth, I'm telling you right now, this depth of relationship that he wants to have with you is life-changing. He loves you. That's why this is a gift. Do you know the king of the universe actually wants to spend time with you? You're on, man, I mean, think about that for just a minute. He desires to spend time with you. He loves you that much. And could it be that work drowns that out in our hearts? That we begin to see God as a taskmaster rather than somebody that loves us. He's not your boss. He's not asking you to work more. What he's saying is come into relationship with me, take hold of this gift, and let me show you what we can do together. Here's the thing about this gift. And all throughout the Bible, we see it. We see commands with a promise. You have to step out first. You have to step out first. Don't sit there and go, oh, well, this is going to happen and we're going to partner together. No, you have to step out first. And when you take that step, God meets you and you see him do incredible things. But you have to take the first step. Because there's a sign of faith and belief when you step out and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, and then you're going to show up.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.